Welcome to another edition of the Y-Pod, where we highlight everyday Wyoming leaders. This episode features a conversation with Lori Burns from the Casper Housing Authority. We talk about things like helping a population you might not expect, the impact of supporting local nonprofits, and being able to get lost just the right amount here in Wyoming. Hope you enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Here we go with Lori Burns.
I'm Lori Burns, and I work for the Casper Housing Authority, and I am the CARES Director, which means I run their nonprofit site.
And for people who don't know much about the Housing Authority, if you could tell us big picture, maybe some of the programs you're excited about?
So the Casper Housing Authority, we provide affordable housing for low-income individuals in our town. So we run 8 different housing programs across the city. We have our Section 8 vouchers, which is when we give someone a voucher and they take it out to a landlord and we pay part of their rent. We also have public housing. We rehab the Old Star apartments that some people might remember were downtown and got condemned a while ago. So they are now in the building behind our office over on A Street, and they are a 50-unit brand new apartment building that's been open for about 2 or 3 years now, I think. And then we also just finished building our Ravencrest apartments, which are those beautiful apartments everyone sees behind Blue Ridge Coffee and cannot even imagine the fact that they are actually a low-income housing program. So both of those projects have project-based vouchers in them that help people get into housing, and then they also have income apartments. So your rent isn't based on your income. Instead, what it is you have to make less than a certain amount of money. So it's designed for workforce housing. So basically what it is if you've just graduated from college or something like that, or you're just starting out, you're not making those $50,000 a year jobs. You know, you're kind of, you know, just starting out as, you know, a brand new person out into the workforce. It's designed for those people to get them out into their own housing and everything. So we have 8 different programs. We work with our local veterans on what's called a HUD-VASH voucher. So it's specifically done through the VA with them. And so we have the vouchers for the housing, and then the VA does the case management. And so the nice thing is there's an 11% poverty rate in Casper, and we're able to help about 1% of that with housing. So while we can't serve everyone who comes through our doors, we are able to serve at least 1% of them through our different programs, which is really nice because with that 11% poverty rate, the need is high. And so every single voucher we get is out on the street because we don't want to hold housing when we know that there's people that need it.
Talking with you about various things you're involved with, the cause aspect comes into play. What is it about doing that you find rewarding and fulfilling?
There's this whole philosophy of housing first. So when you're talking about homelessness and anything like that, there's a lot of questions of people go, well, why can't this person just go get a job? Why can't this person just, you know, be a productive member of society? And when you think about the fact that, you know, a lot of families are 2 paychecks away from being homeless. So what happens is these people become homeless, these families do, and if you don't figure out a way to get them back into housing, they go from being temporarily homeless to being permanently homeless. And it doesn't take that long for it to happen. And once you're living on the street, it goes from what do I need to do to be back to a productive member of society to survival mode. These people are literally thinking about where am I sleeping tonight? Where am I getting my next meal? And so when you talk about housing and you think about it, when you house someone, that is the very first step to getting them being back into part of society, letting them contribute. Because a lot of these people who are homeless, they have a lot to offer to society. When you're thinking about homeless vets, you know, who are coming back and are living on the street, these guys have valuable skills, and these service members could be really productive and really contribute to our society. They just need someone to house them and get them into housing. And so it's such a vital thing that you need to house these people first, because if you want to get people back into society and get them back to contributing and giving back their knowledge, you have to house them. And so that's why it's so important for me that, you know, we're getting people in and we're getting them housed. When our executive director took over about 7 years ago, we hadn't had that many people that had transitioned from renting or being on our program to buying their own house. Because our need is so great, we said, well, you know, we want you in our doors. We want to help you. But we want to move you from being on part of our programs to moving into like Habitat's programs. We don't want you to live on our programs forever. We want you to come in the doors. We want to get you in that housing first. We want to get you in a stable house, and so you know where you're sleeping that night, and then start having you work through the different programs so that you can go and buy your own house. So you can move out into your own rental with, you know, no subsidy attached to it. That's where we want people to go so that we can then bring in the next group of people who need help.
You mentioned how close so many people are to a housing issue, might be a way to say it, 2 paychecks away.
Yeah.
And in talking with Tess at Habitat for Humanity, the idea that there are people who we would never suspect need Habitat services. And mm-hmm. it sounds like the same thing would be true with a lot of the people who take advantage of the services that you guys offer.
You'd be really surprised about who sometimes walks through our door needing help. People seem to think about people who need housing help or need social services help. I think sometimes they have this idea in their head of who it is, and that's usually not who it is. I mean, you're talking about the mom with three kids who is leaving an abusive husband. They're going to need housing. You might just have the young professional who, you know, is just starting out, and they've left mom and dad's house, and they've gone and gotten their college degree, and they're coming out. They have all this debt that they have from student loan debt, and yeah, they've gotten a good paying job. But it's just not enough when you're starting to think about what market rent is and everything. Homelessness can affect anyone. Most people would like to say that's not going to be me. You have people who, you know, own homes right now that literally, even with a savings account, they might not be two paychecks away, but they're less than 6 months away.
How have you found Casper or Wyoming to be as a community in terms of turning out to support your cause and other causes?
They blow me away every time I ask. There has never been a time that I've done an event where I had to put a call out for donations that Casper hasn't come through. We just got done doing our annual Project Homeless Connect, which is basically, it's a resource fair for the homeless in our community. We do it one day a year, and it coincides with the annual point in time count where we ask the homeless to be counted so that we can get money from the federal government based on our count to help combat homelessness. And every year, I wait until the very beginning of January to ask for anything, because otherwise we're asking for toy donations at Christmas time. We're asking for, you know, food donations at Christmas time. I don't want to get lost in that, and I don't want people to feel conflicted during Christmas on giving Christmas or doing donations. So at the beginning of January, I always put out my press release and my call of what donations I need. And every year, my donation corner for that population is full. There is never a year where it's not full. My tables are always heaping at the beginning of the event with stuff stored underneath. And at the end of the night, my tables might be bare, but I still have stuff to bring back that I then put a call out to partner agencies. These are the items I have left that have come in, or they might come in late. What can you use? And then I take it out to other donate organizations and share that wealth out, because Casper is just so giving that there's never been a time that they haven't come through for us.
So many people you could serve in the community, so many different programs. Even on a personal level, you've got a certain amount of time. How do you decide where you focus and where you pay attention?
I tend to focus local. If you take like our small nonprofits like Interfaith or Wyoming Food for Thought Project, who we partner with a lot, and even, you know, Habitat for Humanity, Heart of Wyoming, they've had to design and build a lot of those processes from the ground up, and they've had to work through all their stuff. Their marketing all has to be done by them. It's a very much a boots on the ground, grassroots effort for them. And those are the ones that I love supporting, because when you see them grow from the small little nonprofit that they were, and you see them blossom to what they're doing now, and you see them grow, and you see basically every single dollar that you give back to them, you know probably most of that's going back into your community. That's growing our community. And that's where I focus on, is helping all of our local nonprofits grow, because then that helps our community grow.
Mentioning the local boots on the ground aspect reminds me of one thing I know you're involved in, which is about as big as it gets as far as projects go, and that's the census that's taking place. And even though that is a national effort, every community has to get deeply involved in that for it to be successful at a national level. For those people who might not know about the census, if you could, because you're a part of the committee that's involved locally with that, what is it? What's happening in the community? Why does it matter to us?
We're required per national law that we have to do a census every 10 years. This is our census year, 2020 census year. So it's really easy to remember that they're on, you know, 2020, 2030, and all that's coming. When you hear the census in the news, what you're going to hear most of them saying, if you're looking at national news, they're going to be telling you, you need to be doing the census because that determines how many House of Representatives that means you get. That doesn't matter in Wyoming, okay? We're always only going to just have our one little lone representative. That's just for the least populated state. We're always going to get our mandatory one. We're probably not going to get more unless something really, really changes. So for bigger communities like in California and stuff like that, it's very vitally important that they're wanting everyone counted, because that's going to determine how many House of Representatives they have. For us, it's not that big of a deal, but it is a big deal on how many people we count and how many people we say are in Wyoming, because it matters how much money we get from the federal government for different programs. Wyoming is really, really small. When you're looking at trying to get federal money to come into our community, it's sometimes really hard because we don't consider Casper, Cheyenne, Gillette. We don't consider those rural towns. But in Washington's eyes, the whole state of Wyoming is rural. And so to try and apply for some of those grants that they have, it's really hard for us unless we can prove how many people we have here. When we're talking about federal money, if we're wanting more federal money to come here, and I'm not talking about the federal money that has, you know, what people say, oh, I don't want federal money that has strings attached to it. I'm not talking about like the federal money that comes from the Department of Defense and stuff like that. I'm talking about there's, you know, tons of grant opportunities and stuff like that. Things like that are vitally important for us to do our work. For the Housing Authority, the more people we have here that we can prove, you know, we have a need for, that's when we can go to HUD and say, I need more money to offer more Section 8 vouchers because now, you know, instead of just 11% of our population being on the poverty line, I now have 15%. So I need more money. So it's vitally important that we know how many people are here so that we can use that information to get more federal money into our community that honestly, our community deserves to get it. You've paid your taxes. It's our money. And we deserve to have it come back to our community to support the vital work going across our community in every aspect that people are working in.
Within that effort, there are probably a tremendous number of things happening that average citizens like myself wouldn't have any idea of everything that's going on. Have you been impressed, surprised, pleased to begin getting some visibility on all the things that are happening to make the census occur locally?
I've been working on the census committee since this time last year. We need people to be aware of the census. There was a big concern, I know, early last year about the citizenship question. It's not going to be on the census. Some people worry that if you're illegal, that you don't want to get counted. What your feelings are about illegals or not, if they're in your community, you want them to get counted. Because that impacts how much money comes back into your community. And if they're going to be here, then you want to have the money to help serve them. Otherwise, they're just draining. The fact of the matter is, we wanted to start a year ago of how do we get people to know that the census is coming and let people know that no matter what your situation, it's safe to answer those questions. It's not a gotcha. It's not someone trying to take anything from you or put you into a position that you might feel uncomfortable. You don't have to answer the census takers' questions when they come. But, you know, it's vitally important that you do get counted because it does help our community. It's about making sure that our community gets counted and every single person in our community gets counted because it's a better service for us if we can have an accurate count on who we need to serve. And so I don't want people to think that they shouldn't answer the census questions because it's really vitally important that everyone gets counted. When I say everyone, I mean everyone. I mean that's to every single person in your household, young and old, your children, you know, parents if you're watching them. Everyone needs to get counted. And it is a safe process. And no one should be scared to be counted in the census because really, truly, it's just a count. That's all it is. And we just wanted to make sure even a year ago that people knew it was coming, but that there's no reason to be scared of it.
You had options and your family considered the idea of moving someplace else, but chose to stay here, chose to raise your children here. Could you talk a little bit about why you made that decision? What your thought process was?
My husband was born and raised in Casper. I'm a transplant from Worland. I moved here when I was 4 to Casper, and it's our home. When we were in high school and early 20-year-olds, we're like, oh, we're totally going to move. And then we sat down and we really started to look at where we wanted to move and why we were wanting to move. And we found that no other community offered really what we wanted. You know, we wanted to raise our family near family. So that was a big thing is that both of our families are still here. So we didn't want to move away from family and not be connected to that. The other thing is, you know, we both grew up here and we like the fact that if we need to go to the mountain, it's less than 5 minutes away. If we need to be to the lake, there's two wonderful lakes less than an hour away from here. And at the end of the day, the cultural things that we were thinking that we really needed and wanted in a bigger city, we realized they're less than 4 hours away in Denver. If we moved to Denver, if we moved to Seattle and Portland, because those were some of the cities that we considered, we're like, we're just a name in a crowd or a face in the crowd. At the end of the day, we love the fact that Casper and Wyoming and multiple areas, it's big enough to have, we have an all arts and culture scene. There's so much that you can do here. There's never been a time that, you know, we've sat here and we're like, wow, you know, we just wish Casper would have this. Because for the most part, there's so much going on that it's there. You just have to, you know, look for it and it's there. And we're just like, but it's small enough that it really is a community. If I need something, there's not someone that I can't call to come help. I still know my neighbors. And even though, you know, my kids might not go to our neighborhood school, I still am connected to all the kids in the neighborhood and everything like that. And I'm not saying that we wouldn't have gotten that in a big city, but I don't think I wanted to raise my kids there. I didn't really want to have to worry about the crime and everything like that. And honestly, at the end of the day, we love the fact that Casper had a city feel, but still was more small town. And that's where we wanted to raise our kids. We wanted to give them the experiences that we had growing up and the opportunities that we had. And we didn't want them to be in a city that was so big that they just got lost.
There's a phrase that gets used about Wyoming where it says in some places there are 6 degrees of separation, and in Wyoming there's really only one. Almost anyone you want to talk to, if you don't know them, you know someone who does. A city the size of Warland, you might, in some cases, know more about your neighbors than you want to. And in Casper, you can certainly know a lot about a lot of people, but you also have that balance between, I can get lost a little bit in the crowd if I want to. Not everyone knows me, not everyone knows my business, but I can also connect with people if I want to.
My husband and I have had actually a very long conversation about what's secret versus private. There are things that everyone has in their life that it's not a secret that you do certain things, but how you do them is a private thing. Sometimes the smaller you get into a town, the less division that comes between it. But in Casper, there seems to be a very, very good balance of it. You are allowed to still have a private life. You're allowed to still have privacy here, but you're still really allowed to connect and network with so many people that if you need a resource, if I need a resource and I don't have it, then I can call up someone and go, I need this resource, who should I call? Just the other day, I needed a contact for someone at Community Health and I had no clue who to call. I called up a local therapist that I knew and I said, I need a contact over here for this division. Who do I talk to? And I not only got that name for that person, I got someone at WBI, and I also got a person at Central Wyoming Counseling Center. Three people that I have never met in my life, but became an instant resource for what I was trying to track down. While that can happen anywhere, what's really nice is to be able to say, so-and-so referred me, and that personal connection can sometimes just open the door a little bit more so that you can talk to them about what you're needing. And if they can't help you, they usually can say, go talk to this person and tell them so-and-so sent you. And that networking in Casper, because we're small enough to be able to do that, is just so vitally important to all the work that we do because it helps us connect resources that we might not know about. But once we know about them, it's just so important to be able to work together.
Thanks for everything that you do. And thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.